I want to pick up where we left off last week, in concerning two things. One is, I changed the title of the message, if you notice in your bulletin, are we controlled by the word or controlled by the world? Are we controlled by the word or are we controlled by the world? Or dare to be different, whichever, courage to be different. There's a lot of titles to this message, but let me pray first. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day in memory of the nearly 3,000 souls that perished due to Islamic terrorism. And the day that we celebrate and remember, not necessarily celebrate, but remember when this war began and the pressure that is upon this world and the people of this world by terrorism. God, this morning we do join in the literally millions and millions of people, we join together in prayer to pray for your grace to hold the brokenhearted who lost their loved one in that terrible day. And that you would, in a special way, comfort them and show them that there is some progress being made in this war. And I also pray, Lord, that you would please be with those who are suffering continual health problems from serving at that 9/11 site, the Twin Towers. And I pray that you would please make sure, Lord, that they're as well cared for by our government and by you, Lord, ultimately. And I pray that you might even save souls around this country through this tragedy. Now, Lord, be with us here. Help me to say what your word would say, but help me to say it with humility. Help me to speak your word in truth, but with a humble truth perspective. In Jesus, your name I pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk about, continue the theme, and next week we'll obviously be going to I Love My Church, but I want to bring home to the fact that we as Christians are different. We as Christians, like Jesus taught us, we're to be distinct from the way the world lives. We're to live differently, our values are different, our lifestyles are different, and Jesus taught us that in John chapter 17, which we'll get to in a minute. But today I want to focus on something that has me alarmed and that deals with getting to Daniel chapter 3. But let me just read this. I remember a day in America when the word tolerance was a good word and meant that we recognized and respected other people's beliefs without having to agree with them or to say that their beliefs were truth. Today, the world defines tolerance as everybody's belief systems, everybody's values, everybody's lifestyles are and must be accepted as equal truth. And if you won't be tolerant and accept this world's new standard definition of truth, you are labeled intolerant or a bigot. Or sometimes they combine it together and say you are an intolerant bigot. And that's the one thing that we fear. We do not want to be seen as intolerant. The Hollywood culture And I couldn't remember the title of that movie, so I just said, "The Hollywood Culture, From Gray is the New Black," and I don't remember what it was. To Sesame Street, to global political elitists, and the world's news media reporting that supposed majority of Americans have come to believe that the homosexual lifestyle and marriage is a civil right and is normal, is as normal as husband, male and female marriage. When God created human life, male and female, it was designed for the purpose of marriage, reproduction, and the family unit. He named them Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But today, mankind has outsmarted God. Our American society has been so imperceptibly formed into the mold of the world's thinking that we now have accepted the lie that the gay lifestyle and marriage is as acceptable a truth as male and female marriage, and now it is accepted in every area of society, including the church. Now, we have been pressured or forced into accepting as normal what society not long ago didn't believe was truth. I remember not that long ago, maybe 5-7 years, when California voted to make a constitutional amendment that marriage was between a man and a woman. Do you remember that? That's hard to believe. California we're talking about here. But today, we have been pressured and forced into accepting as normal what society not long ago didn't believe was truth. The news media announces minds have been changed, and now a majority of Americans believe this alternative lifestyle is as normal as a man and woman marriage. That's what they're saying, aren't they? That the majority of Americans believe this. And I say this, that's an outright lie, or a skewing of the real situation. Now you ask me, and I ask myself, how did this happen overnight? How did this happen? Fear. Fear. Fear is the tactic that the world system is using, forcing many Americans to bow down to this agenda and global everything. It's bow down to what the progressive, elitist, enlightened say we must believe, listen, or lose your job. Bow down to what I or my global company wants, or lose my business contract, or lose a Super Bowl, or lose an NBA All-Star game, or the giant tech business threatens if you don't bow down and give us transgender bathrooms, we'll take our global business out of your city and you'll miss jobs and tax revenues. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that this is forced upon us. This is bow down to what we're saying you have to accept, or else this will happen to you. Now, I said to you last week that Jesus Christ said that what makes us different, what makes his followers different, is that he has given us his word and they follow it. Look with me, if you would, in John 17, just a quick review of these verses. And please don't leave this morning. I have a very important message to share for Christianity and for you as a Christian. Look at John 17, verse 14. Jesus said this, "I have given them your word," speaking of his Father. "Father, I've given them your word." And what's the result? The world has hated them. The world has hated them. because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, that's Satan and his demonic forces. Keep them from Satan. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You see, what sets us apart as Christians to being different from the world system is God's word, the Bible. The Bible is very clear. And you ask me, well, if the Bible is so clear, why is it that this is happening? And just a quick note, if you'd turn me to Romans chapter 1. Now, I have a purpose in all this introduction. So, like I said, don't leave me. I think you'll understand where I'm going and why I'm going there. But in Romans chapter 1, this is an adult message, by the way. I will say that. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. Romans 1, 24. God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for what? A lie. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And that's what we do. We worship and serve mankind when we bow down to their wishes when it comes opposed to God's word. When God's word says this, we need to stand. Not in hypocrisy, not in throwing stones. Did you hear that? But in compassionate love and truth, we need to stand. But it goes on. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship? Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women, exchanging the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which is due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality and wickedness, evil-mindedness, it says. And then in verse 30, inventors of evil things. 31, undiscerning, that is meaning they don't see, they're untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice this. But then I want to get to the truth, because sometimes we, and Dan Albright, thank you. That's where Dan is here. Thank you for your message. He's probably teaching in another church. This morning in Sunday school, we discussed the fact that sometimes teachers can be judgmental. And I want you to know that there's not a person here who's not without sin. And the reality is, it goes on to say, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We may practice them in a different way, a different sin, but we still sin. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same or doing some other sin, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now you say, what's he saying here? I think he's saying that This morning, my focus is this. We are living in a day and age where everybody is tolerating, and we've changed the definition of tolerance. Tolerance no longer means that I can accept that you believe what you believe, but I don't necessarily believe it's truth or right. But today, if you work in certain places and you say that, what are they going to do to you? If you say publicly that this lifestyle is wrong or sin, or, as I said, the NBA, didn't they just threaten to remove, maybe they've already done it, the All-Star game from Charlotte next year because of North Carolina's stand to not have transgender bathrooms? And I'm saying that we are living in a day of change where things are being forced upon us and we have to bow down. And if we don't bow down, there's a consequence. And the consequence is that you are going to suffer in some way, shape, or another. Now, the PowerPoint here refers, this is just a thing that the baker faces prison for refusing to bake a same-sex wedding cake. Now, you know that, right? The government's going to put him in jail if he continues his business. This is the guy, Phillips is his last name. Can we turn the lights down just a little bit, please? And the immense amount of protesters, and they're all saying, let them eat their cake. Discrimination. I'm just saying there's a lot of pressure. There's pressure in society, in schools, everywhere you go, even on Sesame Street. You have to believe this. Oh boy, she's fast today. Turn to me now to Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. And I want you to see a situation of real life. I realize this is an Old Testament story, but it's just as true today. In Daniel 3, we have the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel 1, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and in this dream was a large figure, the head of gold, the shoulders of silver, the belly of, what was it, and the legs of brass. Come on, somebody help me. Doesn't matter. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds this idol, 90 feet tall, that's nine-story building. On a plane, on a flat plane in Dura, they found the pedestal. Archaeologists discovered the pedestal that they believe this huge idol sat on. And we see the king here. He makes a command. Verse 1, Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. A cubit's approximately 18 inches. Its width, 6 cubits, 9 feet. It's a tall, skinny guy. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So all of those guys came, and they gathered the end of that verse. They gathered together for the dedication of the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples,
nations, languages. That at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of these instruments, they fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So we have the king's command. Very clear. Now you understand that this was a monumental occasion. This was a big, huge occasion for King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, I'm trying to think of an illustration of how huge it was. It would be bigger than Inauguration Day for the President of the United States, because there's many presidents. There's only one time, only one opportunity to lift up King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you have to understand who King Nebuchadnezzar was. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king that had conquered the known world. He had conquered and subjugated every nation, including the Jews, who he took away from their country. Remember that, how Daniel and these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'll run into in a minute here, were brought to Babylon. They're Jews, youth. I get the thing about their age. They're probably in their early 20s to maybe mid-20s at this point. But they're important guys in King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. But I want you to see this, that there were different languages. It wasn't just the Jews that were foreigners here. Nebuchadnezzar brought all the kingdoms that he conquered and the peoples, the best of these peoples, he brought them all to live at Babylon. And they were all there in their kingdom, his kingdom. And now he's made an image, and all of these nations that he's conquered and all these peoples that he's conquered, all of the leaders of their groups are called to this plain Adora. Plain Adora, it sounds like a pizza. Plain of Dura, to worship his idol, huge idol. This was a very monumental occasion. And we need to understand that this king, like many kings still in the Middle East, were despotic dictators, very cruel in methods of crushing any defiance to his rule. Saddam Hussein was that kind of ruler. Barak al-Assad in Syria, that kind of ruler. You mess with me, I'll cut your head off. That was the way Nebuchadnezzar ruled. He wasn't a nice guy. He was a despotic ruler who controlled all these people. Now, if you don't obey my decree, you'll die. You'll be thrown into the blazing fiery furnace. Now, let's look at the response the world. The world then, verse 8, look at the world's charge. You've seen the king's decree. The world's charge. Verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward. Now, Chaldeans are Babylonians, okay? They're like a natural American. They're natural Babylonians. These natural-born Babylonians came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. So that's the charge. The charge is very simple. First, they had no respect for the king, they're saying, which they did, but secondly, they refused to serve the king's gods. And thirdly, they refused to worship the king's image. Now, why wouldn't they do this? The question is, why, if all these people bowed down when the instruments played, all the people bowed down except three guys. And they stood up like the proverbial sore thumb.
Here's all these people bowed down, and here's three guys standing up, okay? And they're accused and brought before the king. Their names are brought before the king. Now, notice he says, who you have made big shots in your government. They're Babylonians, and they're accusing people who were Jews, but these Jews had high authority. And so the king gets very angry with these guys. And but why did they do this? I could ask, why did they do it? Because they were jealous. It's that simple. They were jealous that the king had promoted these guys and not the natural Babylonians. He had promoted foreigners and left them out. That was, I think, their motive for doing this. But that's another story. Daniel, we find in chapter 1, had been put in charge of all of the wise men at the end of chapter 2, rather. These guys were also promoted. But the world's charge, they're jealous. Let's look at the king's cruelty, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in rage gave the commandment to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? If you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good for you. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" So he gives them a second chance. He appeals to their reasonableness. Come on, let's be reasonable here. Let me encourage you to be reasonable. Just do what I'm asking you to do. I mean, isn't that what the world says? Just be reasonable about this. Don't be so fuddy-duddy. Don't be so square. Everybody has truth. It's coming. It's accepted. It's going to be accepted whether you like it or not. Just be reasonable. Everybody else is doing it, and you're the only ones not. Isn't that what he's saying? You're the only ones not doing what I've told you to do. But with the same forceful pressure, the bottom line, you don't bow down, you go into the fire. It's bow or burn. It's that simple. A-B, bow or burn. Your choice. Be reasonable and bow, or I'll kill you. Nebuchadnezzar's words, "Who is the God that can deliver you from my hands?" Who is the God? That was his boast. You're doing this because of a God. By the way, I ask you the simple question. Why wouldn't these guys bow down? Why wouldn't they bow down? It's not a hard question. In Exodus chapter 20, here's why they wouldn't bow down. And God said all these words, saying, "I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water or under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children,
to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Very simple. God in his word had said, don't bow down to an image. Now, they could have said, yeah, but man, Nebuchadnezzar's been awful good to us. I mean, he butters our bread. We work for him. Right? I mean, really. They could have thought, man, nobody will know. We just bow down with the rest of them. Nobody will know. I can do this thing and nobody will know. Right? Seriously. Have you ever said that? Let's look at next at the courage. Oh, I said, sounds like modern day Google threatening Charlotte, North Carolina over transgender bathrooms. Either bow down or we take our company out of your city. And what are you going to do with that huge, empty skyscraper? What are you going to do with it? Now, this is real stuff. I want you to know this is real. This is the world we're living in and the pressure that's coming down on us. The courage, and I may have to, the courage of these guys, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to discuss this matter with you. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now that's what you call faith. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you have set up. Now that's what you call real courage. They said, I am not sure if we'll ever be called. They said, and this is what we should say with whatever the situations in our life where we're pressured to conform or not. Whether God will choose to deliver you out of the situation, that's up to him. But know this. Know this. He'll go with you through that situation, and he'll be with you. We understand, do not need time to reconsider our decision. That's what he's saying. They affirmed God's ability to deliver them from this furnace. Well, like I said, that is faith. God is, he's able. Let me ask you this. Is God able to deliver you from whatever your trial is? Is God able? He is. But sometimes that's not what he will do. I mean, I've read untold stories of pastors in other countries, in North Korea, who have said either renounce Christ, they held a gun to his head, and either renounce Christ or I'm going to kill you. And he said, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And the soldier killed him. But God is able. And I've seen other stories where he did deliver them. They affirmed that they were submissive to their God, even if it meant death. The king's cruelty, he got so furious. I'm going to speed this up. He got so furious, he heated the furnace up 7 times hotter. In other words, I'm going to make an example of you guys. I'm going to fricassee you beyond human recognition. I'm going to zap you into another world. But, you know what I'm saying. I'm going to make an example of you. He heated the furnace up 7 times.
Even the guys, the Babylonian soldiers that threw them in, when they opened the furnace, the blast of the fire consumed them. And those three Hebrew boys, men, young men, fell into the furnace, tied, bound. All right? Bake the gay cake or bake no cake. That was the choice. Or go to prison. I can't get over that one, but there's a companion in there with them, and I might better read this because this is such a beautiful thing. 3:24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look, look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." The companion. You see, the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ will go through whatever you go through, and he'll be with you. And I'm going to be honest with you. If the Lord is your shepherd, what's it say? You shall not want. Jesus Christ is more than sufficient to make up for whatever you may lose. King Nebuchadnezzar makes a commitment, admitted that the God of these Hebrews intervened and delivered them. He admitted, he commended the Jews for their commitment to their God. And lastly, he issued a decree that nothing erroneous be spoken against the God of the Jews, for there is no other God like their God. And I'm going to say this. I don't know what will come down to our lives. We do know the end times, don't we? We do know there's coming a day, of course, believe that the church will be gone, that the believers in Christ will not be here during that period of time. But there is coming a time when every man will have to receive the mark of the Antichrist to buy and sell. And they're going to be forced to receive that mark. And anybody who receives that mark is damned forever. But let me say this. It may come down to in the United States that we will face persecution. Did you know that? That we as a church may face persecution. There's been talk, what can we do to punish the church if they won't marry? What can we do? Well, we can take away their tax exemption status. That would really hurt the church. You know that. But that's another story. But here the king relented, committed himself to believe that the God of these Jews was, there's no greater God than him. That was the first step. By the way, I believe Nebuchadnezzar is converted in the next chapter when God does even further things to show him that he's the Lord. But let me go on. The king was convinced and eager to add these Jews' God high on his list of gods, just like America's polytheistic society. There's only one true God. There may be many religions and many gods in their minds, but always remember, there's only one true God, and his word is what separates us from the world. Soon Nebuchadnezzar would realize, I've already said that, so let's move on here. What's your furnace to test your faith that demands complete surrender of absolute confidence in God's ability to deliver you? Cancer or sickness? You know, God is able to help you, but if not, know that your companion will go with you. through the cancer, but he is able to heal. Job fears. What's your fiery furnace that you're afraid of? Persecution, marriage, divorce, your children, parents. Let me read that top again. What's your furnace that tests your faith and demands complete surrender and absolute confidence in your God's ability to deliver you? There's nothing that God cannot do. Now, I want to go on to even death. Psalm 23, remember what verse 4 says? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, have you learned there is no other God who can deliver like this one? It's still true. As Christians, we must face ahead. We must learn to live with principle. We must face ahead of time whether we will be controlled by the word and live with conviction or controlled by the world and respond with compromise. Hebrews 13, 11 through 14 talks about Jesus was crucified outside the wall of Jerusalem. His body was taken outside the wall when he was crucified. And then he says to Christians, let us go outside the wall and identify ourselves with him. Sometimes we have to go outside society to identify with Jesus Christ. And don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of his word. Hold fast. Hold true. Though the whole world oppose you, hold true to God's word. Please hear that. Young people especially, please hear that. I have a video here. Ben, if you could pull that video up on it's the bottom of the screen. Close out of that. And Google, there you go. Pull that up and play that video for me, if you would. Yeah, go up and hit that. Thank you. I'm sorry, Ben. I know you know that. If you'll blow it up, give me a full screen. I hope that picks. Yeah, it's going to. Yeah, oh yeah, there's sound with that. I apologize. I just pulled this one on Ben.
Most of the migrants heading to Europe, life. But among them, those escaping.
That's all right. The sound is fine. This is the video of what ISIS is doing to Christians in Syria, in Libya, all because they won't bow down to their. That's all right, Ben. That's fine. I apologize. I pulled it on you too late. Christians murdered every day, decapitated, crucified for their faith in Jesus Christ. Are you willing to stand for God and for Jesus, even in the face of death, let alone the face of persecution? I hope that you will go outside the wall, the city wall, and stand with the cross of Jesus Christ and not bow down to the pressure of the world when it goes against God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this real-to-life practical story. I pray, Father, for our society. I pray for, Lord, the ability to love
all mankind, even our enemies and those that hate us. I pray to realize I can't throw stones. We cannot throw stones, but we must stand. We must stand for your word, God, and for Jesus Christ, your Son. No matter what may come our way, help us not to bow our knee to this world and worship its commandments, its pressure, and give in our convictions of your truth. Help us to stand in a world that is collapsing all around us. Help us to stand for you, God. And Father, I pray for your Son's soon return. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Teach us to stand in Jesus, your name, as you stood, I pray. Amen.